Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody out there in listener land. It looks like we're having some technical difficulties tonight, so I hope that everybody can hear me. This is Third and Long with Coach Penn, and tonight I have a bunch of little topics to discuss. We are, for those of you who are unfamiliar or first time listening into the show, and you're on the website, up at the right-hand corner where it has the little thing for the show, this is a green box with a flashing dialogue symbol, chat available. Go ahead and push that button. You'll hop in the chat room and you can throw any questions to see what's going on. You know, you can throw questions at me and I usually pay attention to it, see what's going on. When I miss something, BJ will let me know that there's people who have called in. If you're looking to call in, the number is 347-826-7278, and I am calling from my porch. I like to do my show from the front porch. I live in Southern California, so it's nice and cool. A couple blocks from the beach, so I get a nice breeze. And breezes are always nice, especially when it's been as hot as it has been lately. But we are here to talk about football, more particularly women's football. I am going to leave the women's football to the end of the discussion tonight so that I can make sure and run out of time, because I don't want to get too heated about what I need to talk about, because there's some things that have happened. I didn't have a show last Wednesday, as you all know. My producer forgot to schedule it, so I'll get on her about that. Somebody forgot to send her a paycheck or something, I guess, this week. But no, she it was overbooked for last week, so I took a much-needed week off. And in that week, a bunch of stuff happened. There actually is a new show on the WFB Talk Continues lineup. Coach Trammer with the East Texas Sabercats of the NWSA now has his Chalk Talk, so that's pretty cool. I listen to most of that, and he has a lot. I have a lot of inside information with the IWFL, and he has a lot of inside information with the NWSA, and they're ongoing, so that's nice to have both leagues covered. And yes, there is a third league, but until they play a game, they are not a league to me, especially when they only have six teams. So we will discuss that later. Like I said, I have a bunch to say about women's football that's coming up and that has happened in the past 2 weeks. So I want to preview four NFL games for everybody. I have, of course, my top 15, and the updated top 15 for college football, and I have previews of the six big games this week. There are actually six really good games, and they start tomorrow night, Thursday night. So we will do that. Coach Roar, is that Coach of the Roar, or BJ's talking to me on the chat board. So don't forget about the ladies on Sundays at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Coach Evans of the Roar, I believe that's the Empire State Roar, he will be on their show to discuss various events surrounding them. Everybody who doesn't know, the Empire State Roar made the playoffs in the 2007 season of the WPFL, and SoCal Scorpions had to travel all the way to New York, play them, ended up winning by a large margin, and then, of course, won the WPFL championship, and the Empire State Roar signed on to play in the IWFL of the 2009 season. They have backed out of that and now are a member of the WFA. The WFA is that third league. So we will get into that later, but just remember, Thursday show with Coach Trammer, and that's called Chalk Talk, and then, of course, you have the ladies of California on Sunday show. So make sure you listen to all the shows. You get a lot of different events. You got the message boards, but, you know, the message boards have become very mean and vindictive. People can't just read and, you know, say nice things and talk about football. That's becoming very shoddy, and I don't even like, I haven't commented on there in over a year, I think. But I have lots of communications with other coaches, so if you feel the need, you know, hop in the chat room or call the number. Like I said, 347-826-7278. So I'm going to dive right in. First topic this evening will be the NFL. And I must say, I'm so proud of my Dolphins. The Dolphins have won 2 games in a row. Now, last year they struggled to get 1 game done, and this year they beat both New England, who lost in the Super Bowl, and San Diego, who lost to New England in the AFC Championship game. 2 weeks in a row, it's funny because they lose to the Jets, then they get humiliated by the Cardinals, and then they beat New England and San Diego in consecutive weeks. I'm hoping that is a sign of things to come and not just a fluke of their season. They end up winning 2 games. I'm sure New England and San Diego will be quite upset that they lost to those two teams, to that team. They are running. What is it? A version of a single wing to throw teams off, and it's working very well. So I look to have that in a future show. But I am actually talking with the Dolphins head coach, Mr. Soprano, Coach Soprano. I can't ever say his name right because I was a big Soprano fan. So, but, you know, the head coach of the Dolphins, I've talked to him a couple times about being on my show, and he has to wait, of course, at the end of the season. And then the Paul Johnson, the coach of the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, I've had to talk to him about being on my show, and they don't do internet broadcasts, but he said that he will be on my show after Georgia Tech season is over so that we can discuss the infusion of old-school football, the single-wing, double-wing, option-type offenses into the modern age of football where everybody wants to run the spread. So that's pretty cool that I'm going to have 2 big names like that on my show. And, of course, you know, you have to wait until the women's football season for that to happen because that's when men's football's over. And I'm not sure we might have to change days because I have practice on Wednesday nights. So I think I might do a couple interactive shows where you get to listen to me run a practice and be involved. That'll be pretty cool. I think it'll be pretty cool. If you guys don't want to, you know, hear that, then you just let me know. But those are the 2 things I basically want to have on my show for old school versus new school. And, you know, the Dolphins running the single wing is actually a pretty cool thing. And to see it work is kind of amazing. So, and the way they run it's really nice with Ricky and Ronnie, the double R's. They're just pretty cool. I mean, Ricky doesn't get the ball much on the end around, but he did a great job blocking for Ronnie this weekend where he snuck in. So this week, Miami travels to Houston. Houston is just the heartbreak team of the NFL. They keep on losing games that they seem to have control of. I mean, Sage Rosenfeld lost the game by himself. So I'm looking for Miami to win. They're 3rd in a row, but I don't necessarily expect it, or it isn't a given win. So, I mean, they're only favored by 1.5 right now, and that just shows you that even the experts are like, Miami's not that good, and Houston should probably have already won a couple games. So, you know, the second game I want to talk about is Baltimore at Indy. Now, this is a pretty intriguing game because both teams are 2-2. Indy is 0-2 at home, and so much for a new stadium and having a home field advantage, but they're 0-2 at home, so they still haven't even got their first win. Their offense seems to be a little bit out of whack, and their defense has always been suspect. But, I mean, with Bob Sanders and Dwight Freeney healthy, their defense is really good. But, you know, that hasn't been that way for 2 years. So Baltimore is actually playing pretty well with Joe Flacco at the reins. He's doing enough to put them in the position to win games. It should be an interesting game, you know, a good defense of battle against a good struggling offense battle. So Baltimore Indy, make sure you check that one out. That, I believe, is on CBS at 1 East Coast time. The next one is Jacksonville Denver. That's an afternoon game. And Jacksonville lost a heartbreaker to Steelers. Was that Sunday Night Football? Was that Sunday Night Football? For sure it was. And Steelers are like my 4th favorite team in the Jaguars are like my 2nd, so I was, and my girl's a Steelers fan, so I wasn't totally upset because she was happy, and what makes her happy makes me happy. Isn't that what a relationship's all about? But I have Jay Cutler on my fantasy team, so now I'm really upset and torn about who I want to win that game. Jacksonville's defense is really good, so I don't expect them to put up a lot of points, as is Denver, especially since I only put up 16 this week. But I need Jay Cutler to have a good game because I'm 5-0 in my fantasy league, and that is very important to me. It's the only reason why I watch. There's 2 reasons why I watch the NFL, because I want to see the Dolphins keep improving so that I can relive the glory days, and then so that my final fantasy people can do good. And right now I'm 5-0 and leading the league, so I'm happy with that. The last game refers back to the 2 teams that have lost to Miami. New England and San Diego. Now, New England, they're no Tom Brady, so obviously they're having a rough year with Matt Castle, who hasn't started a game since high school, playing as QB. It's funny because he never started at USC, and Matt Leinart was like some sort of superstar, yet Matt Leinart is not starting in the NFL, and Matt Castle is. So, ha! Huh, to each his own. But San Diego's struggled, and I blame North Turner because I think he's a horrible head coach. I do not think he's a bad coach. I think he's a horrible head coach. The fact that LTE and most of their starters don't play in the preseason annoys the hell out of me because it always seems to be LTE doesn't strike a rhythm until the fourth or fifth game of the season. And I understand the point of it. They're trying to limit injuries because the preseason is for figuring out things, figuring out those last five positions on your team. And those are very important. So, I understand it. I just think it's stupid. I think everybody should play a little bit in each game just to kind of get their football ready, especially when you're a professional. I mean, I understand practices are a joke, first of all. So, and the games are everything you do. So preseason games are even more of a joke because it's like a heated practice. So I don't know. But I think New England and San Diego is going to be a good game. It's in San Diego. It's the NBC game on at night, and usually those games have been pretty good. San Diego's favorite, which I'm surprised at, and I think that's because they lost last year, so they're expecting them to, you know, fight back, and their defense is so good. Well, Miami really, really dominated San Diego. And New England, they finally got Randy Moss a touchdown, so I think Matt Castle's finally coming in his own. He proved that he can throw the deep ball, so I think it should be a good game. I hope San Diego wins because I absolutely hate New England. I used to hate Indy, but then they left the Dolphins division, and now I don't hate them anymore. They're just another team I root against. But New England and the New York Jets, I just cannot and will not ever root for. Lose every week, I would be happy. So go San Diego, Super Chargers! And, but everybody check out those games. Those should be four games, and they won't waste your time, and you should probably see some good football. College football. College football is next. And for everybody who's listening, this is Third and Long with Coach Penn. I'm saving the women's football talk till last tonight. So you can hop in the chat room and shoot out a question if you have one. There's a guest on right now kind of listening and watching in the chat room. So welcome, and thanks for listening. For those of you that aren't listening, if you want to call in and discuss either the pros or college while I'm talking about it, go right ahead and call in. The number is 347-826-7278. I'm all up for talking to people that just call in. It's always nice to hear other people's opinion because I'm just one person, and all of these things that I say are my opinion, and they do not represent my team or my league. They represent me, Coach Penn. That's me. I'm the one talking. So if you have something to say, always refer to me. Not Coach Penn of the California Quake or Coach Penn of the IWFL. Coach Penn, that's it. I don't have a surname. It's just Coach Penn. That's my first and full name when I'm talking on this board. So please don't ever repeat something and say this is how this league or this team feels. And it's just my opinion. So college football, like I've said on many shows, this is the love of my life. I spend 16 hours on Saturdays from 9 a.m. to basically midnight just watching football. I have three TVs set up in my living room, all with DirecTV. I have the game plan, and I get all the channels, and I just basically veg out on football all day. I was pretty happy that my Seminoles, for those of you who don't know, Florida State, that's my team, that's where I went to school, that's where I graduated from. I'm an East Coast boy. I do not necessarily have East Coast bias because I've been out so long, so I think that's been weeded out of me, but I still think football is better on the East Coast basically because of the fans and the camaraderie and the way that people just love the sport. If you had a choice between doing anything and going to a football game, 90% of the South would choose, or East Coast for that matter, would choose going to a football game. Out here, I don't even think it's 50%. And it's not their fault that traffic is so bad and that there's so many other things to do. I mean, lives are built around football. And on the East Coast. So let me start with the top 15 updated. I'll give you a little breakdown for each one. Moving back, for those of you who don't know, I have a blog. Check out the blog. It's linked on this site. I have a blog, and because I wasn't on the air last week, I posted my blog there, and everybody could kind of update it. So for those of you who don't know that I have a blog, check it out. I usually leave some stuff on there. I'm not very big on blogging, but I use it to write down ideas and make sure that my thoughts don't get lost because it's always up on the computer. Some of the teams that are looking to join the rankings that are not quite there yet include these teams. Michigan State, they're 5-1. Just keep giving the ball to Ringer, and he'll do the job for you. And eventually that defense should wake up. Ball State, they're ranked in the AP and U.S. poll for the first time in, I don't know, ever. They're 6-0, and they did something Wake Forest couldn't do. They beat Navy, so maybe they deserve to be up there. Ohio State, I said it from the very beginning, unless Tyrell Pryor, the phenom, starts learning and making plays, they are not going to be anything. So he's actually doing it, and they got a big win at Wisconsin last weekend. Virginia Tech may not be pretty, but they keep winning. The Florida State game in 10-25 has got to be the game. That's going to make or break them. It's going to either expose the Seminoles or the Hokies right there. The Tar Heels, North Carolina, they have the easiest schedule of any ACC team left. They have a very good chance to possibly win the division and play in the championship game, which is just amazing to me because they don't look like that good of a team. Of course, Wake Forest. Wake Forest has the big game this week. They play Clemson on Thursday night. That's tomorrow night for those of you listening live. For those of you not listening live, that's Thursday the 9th. That would be my girlfriend's birthday. So happy birthday to Kara. Thursday's your birthday. It's Wednesday right now. You're sitting in the living room while I'm out on the porch. But that's a big game because Clemson needs to wake up or they're gone. And if they lose, they'll probably beat Florida State, which will just infuriate me, but whatever. Wake Forest needs to continue being the pride of the ACC, and if they can wake up from that loss, they should be okay. They should be okay, but I'm not really so sure about this one. I mean, Clemson has by far superior athletes, but so did Florida State. And Wake Forest managed to pull that one out. And I'm telling you what, with their kicker hurt, they're not going to have much of a chance because that's how they beat Florida State. A kicker was 4-7, and he was completely healthy. Now he's got a twinged thigh, or I don't know how he's wording it, but, yeah, that's going to be rough if they have to settle for field goals and deal with that all night. All right, what was the other one? So those are all people trying to get in the rankings. Two people dropped out. South Florida lost to Pittsburgh. So the Big East is now going to be referred to as the Big Least. They are just pathetic. I can't believe that they lost to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is not a good team. They have one player, and every other team has basically figured out how to stop that one player. Kansas Jayhawks, they fell out of my poll, even though they didn't lose. They had to come from behind to win, and I was just not impressed with them. They're not going to be able to do much. I mean, even if they win out, all the games are going to be such ridiculous scores because their defense is just not that good, and they won't be able to do anything in the Big 12 to represent. So now we will go to the top 15. Top 15. 15 re-entering the rankings after a horrible loss to Ole Miss. And they destroyed Arkansas last week, so we got the Florida Gators. They're 4-1, and they play LSU this weekend. That is a huge game, and for some reason, the Gators are favored by 6. No clue why. Maybe because people think they woke up. LSU is not that good. Florida is getting better. If they can continue to build their run game, they will be good. I think LSU is really overranked, and I don't understand why they're overranked. I have them ranked really high, too, but not nearly as high as everybody else. Most of the other people have them as a number 2, number 3, number 4 team. I have them as number 6, and it was really hard for me to put them there. So this one is going to be a really big game, and these two teams do not like each other, and it really depends on which Florida Gator team shows up. They lost to Ole Miss, and they didn't play very well against Miami. The other games, they basically just killed the people they played. And LSU did the stupidest thing by saying they're going to take out Tebow, and that's how they're going to win. And that's just mean. I don't really understand why you would get an athletic, challenging team madder than you need to have them, or more focused on their person that they're playing. That's just stupid. As a coach, if I ever get a college ball coaching job, which was what I want, I swear that person will be suspended for the game if they ever talk smack in the media. You can talk smack all you want in the locker room or with the friends on the team, but if you talk smack in the media, you are not playing that game. That's it. Or if you're like a bench warmer and you talk smack, you have to play the entire game. You don't even get it. You have to prove it. You have to put it in your hands. All right, so there's that game. Oklahoma State is number 14. That's why I have number 14. They're 5-0, and they've really done a good job with who they've played. They're a surprise team, not on many people's radar. So this week they have a huge challenge, and it's Missouri. Missouri is no joke. They don't play much defense, I know. But with an offense like that, who cares about a defense? I mean, when the starters have been in there, they've scored, I think, on all but three possessions, and they've never had a three and out with the starters in there. So maybe they haven't played anybody. That's one way to look at it. But, you know, my take on this game is whose defense is going to show up. The one that plays better probably will have the best chance to win. And that's why I think it's funny that they say defense wins championships, because it does. It doesn't matter how good your offense is. If you face a defense that can slow you down, you know, then it's up to your defense to stop them. And that's the thing. That's the big turning point in this game. Is Oklahoma State going to be ready for Missouri's defense or Missouri's offense? If they can slow them down and put some pressure on them to score every time, because if Oklahoma State can, Missouri's defense is a joke to me. I don't think they're that good, and I think that Oregon State should be able to score on them. If they are able to, the pressure then goes to the Missouri offense, which they answered well against Illinois, but Illinois obviously wasn't that good. So that should be a very intriguing game. So that's two, and I've only named two teams so far, and both of them are ranked games. So, I mean, oh, busy Saturday. I better get the antacid out. Number 13, reappearing again on my top 15, is SoCal. Now, that, like Florida Gators, they both dropped out of my poll because I ranked them much lower than I thought they were than on the regular polls, and they end up losing, basically validating what I thought of them. The Trojans are a very, very talented team, but they are cocky, and they don't play every down, which they proved against Oregon State. So now they have a big game this weekend after destroying a very good Oregon team, mind you. Oregon was very good, and they destroyed Oregon because they were focused, and they set their sights and did their job. And if, as long as they do that, they'll win the rest of the games this year because their schedule's a joke. And then they have to hope that Oregon State and Ohio State have great seasons, so it helps them look better, I guess you could say. They play Arizona State this weekend, who, you know, is not very good, but they should be able to beat them, and they should be able to beat them handily. Both teams could be without their starting quarterbacks, and while that is a hindrance, it favors SoCal, because SoCal has three really good QBs, whereas Arizona State has one, and if that one's gone, what are they going to do? So, yeah, I think SoCal, congratulations on being back in my top 15 at 13. And just keep winning. You keep moving up. Number 12, the shock team of the year, the Vanderbilt Commodores. I had to actually look up what their, you know, mascot was. Commodore. It's Commodore. Who knows what Vanderbilt is? They're a smart school, not a football school. Well, they're proving after they beat Auburn in a very defensive game that after they beat Auburn. I hope I did say Auburn. They're a team to be reckoned with. Now they play Mississippi State this week, and Sylvester Croom is a very good coach. Very good coach who has to deal with working with so little. They have a very good defense, and they need to focus on them this week and not the game next week against Georgia. That's what they need to do. Move it to 6-0, then focus on Georgia. Don't get caught looking, because Mississippi State, they're not a bad team. They're just not as good as you would think they would be. Number 11 is Boise State. Boise State has been doing good, and they have a better resume than both Utah and BYU in the whole one non-FBS or BCS team gets to go into the BCS. So they need to keep winning, and they need to win impressively to pass them because both of them are ranked higher in the other polls. This week they play Southern Miss, which is always a trap game. So good luck down there. Number 10 is Georgia. They had a bye this week after getting killed by Alabama. So hopefully they have licked their wounds and be ready to lay licking on the Volunteers, Tennessee. Tennessee is just, like I've been saying all year, not good, and Georgia really needs to take it out on them because they've lost the last 2 years. They need to really focus and take it to the Volunteers to have a chance at being respected this year. It's just bad. Tennessee, I don't know what happened. Phillip Fulmer is most likely in his last season if they keep on losing the way they are. Number nine is the Utah Utes. Who would have thought Urban Meyer's gone, and this team is still good? You know, maybe it wasn't all Urban Meyer. Maybe it was that they do have good athletes, but they do have a good coach now, and they are 6-0. And they did something that USC couldn't do. They came back from being down against Oregon State and beat them. I mean, that's saying something right there. You did something that USC, the all-powerful USC, couldn't do. And this week you have Wyoming as a present. So have fun spanking Wyoming, and hopefully you'll keep moving up those boards and keep earning the respect you deserve. Number eight is BYU. BYU is 5-0. Another game, another easy victory. Their scoreless streak was broken. They had played 11 straight quarters and not let the other team score. They did let Utah State score two cheap touchdowns in the fourth, which I'm kind of disappointed in because they need all the help they can get to prove that they're good because they don't play anybody the rest of the year. So this week they take New Mexico, and which should be another routine blown-out game. Number seven, Texas Tech. Texas Tech just killed who they played last week, and I thought it was going to be a much closer game. This week they play Nebraska, who didn't show up last week and basically committed a bunch of personal fouls that are all over the media. So they've had a bunch of issues this week, and the question is, will they be able to refocus to face that prolific scoring, flying football, receivers everywhere, Michael Crabtree, Graham Harrell, throwing that ball all over the field and be able to play with them? And I think the simple answer is no. They will probably lose by 40 or 50 points. I'm hoping they don't because I hate bad football like that, but it's kind of hard to take your focus like that. Number six is LSU, and then, like I said, they play Florida, and this is the number two marquee matchup of Saturday night. Number two. That means there's a bigger game than what I've already mentioned, and I've already mentioned Oklahoma State of Missouri and Florida LSU, and I consider the LSU-Florida game number two. So that means Missouri-Oklahoma State is number three. What's number one? We're getting there right now. Number five is Texas. Texas plays Oklahoma, the Red River Shootout. And they don't call it anymore. They call it the Red River Rivalry. Well, guess what? This is going to be a shootout. It's just that. The winner has national bragging rights this year. Not, you know, bragging rights. National bragging rights. If your TV is not on this game, you are not a college football fan. It's that simple. I might even go as far as saying you're not a football fan if you don't have this game on and watch it. These two teams play good, fast football. And they know, and it's not like they're the spread teams. They actually know how to run the ball, get in the eye, and run it too. So, I mean, both quarterbacks are good, and one's a junior and one's a sophomore. So, come on. I mean, hopefully we'll have at least two more years of Sam Bradford and one more Cole McCoy. I hope he doesn't leave like Vince Young did. So, big game, big game. Hope everybody enjoys it. I hope it lives up to the hype as none can. Number four is Penn State. Penn State snuck by a little pesky Purdue 20-6. It wasn't a very well-played game, but they played better than the score reflected. They left a lot of points on the board, and they just couldn't get into a rhythm or couldn't stop shooting themselves in the foot. This week they get to play Wisconsin, and Wisconsin lost that heartbreaker to Ohio State at the end of the game. So don't get caught underestimating the Badgers. I know they've lost, but they can play football, and they're pretty good at it. So number three is the Missouri Tigers. This is, like I said, the number two marquee matchup of Saturday night. It's going to be a good game. I can't wait, but Missouri is all about offense and not about defense, so I'm going to be watching that game just to see the offenses in the game. Number two was last week's previous number one, Alabama. Alabama was my number one, and they did win. They beat a Kentucky team, but they're at home, and they only won by 3 points, and they were not very they were not very good. They didn't look very good, and I don't know if Kentucky matched up that well. I mean, they should have. They didn't look like they did. Maybe they did, but I just didn't. So, we were just, I think there's a lot of weaknesses in this team, and hopefully a lot of people pay attention because they play in the SEC, and every team is something to be reckoned with. I mean, like I said, even the Mississippi State team, they have a good defense. So if Alabama can't fix these special teams problems and the penalties and not cashing in or making mistakes when they're near the goal line, I mean, nothing infuriates a coach more than getting down to the 1 yard line and fumbling it. You're guaranteed 3 points as long as you have a decent kicker. And Kiffin missed a bunch of, or Tiffin, yes, T with it. Yeah, Kiffin with a T. Tiffin missed a couple field goals, and it was just bad. So that means that Oklahoma moved up to my number one ranking, which means the Oklahoma-Texas game is 1-5 on my polls, and I think it's about the same on the other ones. I don't really pay attention too much to those because I don't use those to rate my teams, but I think it's going to be a great game, and I cannot wait. I'm going to make sure I eat and take a bathroom break before that game because I want to see the whole game and not miss any big plays. So that is my college football roundup. Let's see what games I did not cover that I wanted to talk about. Oh, the only game I did not cover that I wanted to talk about was Auburn versus Arkansas. I mentioned that Vanderbilt beat Auburn, and Auburn hired this Coach Franklin, which is supposed to be this offensive guru to basically, you know, take their offense to the next level. Well, they fired him today. They fired their offensive coordinator, and now they got to go to Arkansas. So I think that's a very intriguing game just because of that. I want to see if their offense improves dramatically or if it's just, I don't know, that's the one thing I'm scared about if I ever get a coaching job. If it takes 5 or 6 games to really get that stuff going, because, I mean, if you come into a system and you've got to install your philosophy into a system and it takes the players a while to get into the rhythm, I mean, that's just scary. I mean, even with women's football, it's hard, but, I mean, getting fired in women's football is nothing new. I mean, I know of a couple of coaches that have got fired and they're still coaching in women's football. I mean, it's different. But in college football, I mean, I know he'll be working somewhere next year for sure, or possibly in the NFL, which is just hilarious to me because if you get fired, you're obviously doing something wrong. But then again, you know, look at Pete Carroll. I mean, he was a horrible NFL coach, and look at him in college. I mean, he's where he should be. And there's many coaches like that. It's just I think it's going to be an intriguing game to see how their offensive adapts. You know, how are they going to adjust, and how much of the system are they going to change? Are they going to redo it all in a week, or is it just going to be basically a new play caller? Because if that was the case, you probably didn't need to fire your offensive coordinator. I mean, you could have a play caller and an offensive coordinator. I actually tried to do that last year with my team. I was the head coach, and I have an offensive coordinator, but I like to call plays because that's one thing I know I'm good at. But I instead let my coach call plays, and he didn't have much of a rhythm, but he eventually found some rhythm, not as much as I would like. But it was his first year, and it really didn't cost us any games. And, I mean, when things would get rough, I would tell him to run a play, and I did that with my defensive coordinator too, but as she had more experience, I guess calling plays and defenses is not so much about plays, it's just about setting up to, you know, defend as much of the field as you think the other team is using. And so it's not as much there, but I mean, I would really infuse certain plays and be like, hey, run this play now. Set up, do it. And, you know, I think play calling is such an art. It is, I mean, you have to be good at it to be able to do it, and it takes practice. So I am not really worried about it. I just want to see. I really wish I had the inside track on that one, and I hope they actually go over that on some of the college football shows and stuff like that, because I would like to know if they are actually changing the system or just changing the play caller. So that is it for my college football review. Thank you, everybody, for sitting through that. I'm going on to the women's football stuff now. Like I started at the beginning of the show, there's a new Thursday night show with Coach Trammer of the East Texas Sabercats. He is actually He has his own show, and he's at the NWFA, and I'm the IWFL. So now we have two shows with more talk about one over the other. And that's good, because women's football needs all of its angles covered. And one of the things that has happened in the last 2 weeks is that there wasn't an announcement. The IWFL hasn't announced anything. The only thing they announced is media. What else have they announced? They've announced joining of new teams into the league, and they've announced, what is it? What else have they announced? I guess little events, new teams, the ball, and the All-Star event. That was the other big thing they've announced. They haven't really said who they're kicking out or whatever.
Sorry about the dog in the background. I guess there's a couple of rowdy dogs walking around, and like I said, I do this on my porch.
But I went and did some research on the two teams, and I know I did this a couple weeks ago, but a lot has happened in a couple weeks that I was just surprised at. I'm going to start with the WFA because Jeff King was on the ladies' show on Sunday. He's been, you know, around, and I think the fact that he created a new league is just, I think his ideas are great. I just think he could have done better by selling those ideas or buying into another league to help improve the league, not split it up again. And like I said, all of these opinions are my own. So if you're going to yell at somebody, yell at me. Don't make my statements be that of a team or a league, okay? They have a couple teams right now that have been announced. Let's see, the Gulf Coast Riptide, which were the Pensacola Power, which is no longer listed on the NWFL website. It was like last week or something like that. It's the Gulf Coast Riptides in there. The New Orleans Blaze is in there. Let's see, the Delaware Queen Bees, that's a new team, maybe off of the Griffins, I don't know. Empire State Roar, which I did discuss earlier, they have jumped from the IWFL without even playing a game, so that's pretty awesome. You have the Philadelphia Liberty Bills, and then the California Lynx, which is not associated with any team, but Coach Bartley, who I know, we coached together back in 2002 with the Long Beach Aftershock, he was the coach of the Quake and the coach of the SoCal Breakers this past year. He has been relieved of those two duties, and now he has started his own team, the California Lynx, which will be based out of, I think, Orange County. I'm pretty sure it's out of Orange County. BJ tells me that the Queen Bees will be on the show on Sunday. So make sure and listen in on Sunday, and you can find out about the Queen Bees and maybe if they are the former Griffins or are under new ownership with, you know, giving the ladies of Delaware another place to play. All right, so out of the NWSA, I have, let me see, 9 teams that are no longer listed on there that were there last year with 5 of them going to a different league. Philadelphia Phoenix became the Philadelphia Firebirds and now in the IWFL. Modesto became the Modesto Magic IWFL. Chattanooga Locomotion, I believe they became the Tennessee Valley Tigers. Correct me if I'm wrong on that, BJ. New Orleans Blaze obviously joined the WFA, as I just mentioned. Pensacola Power became the new team, WFA. Alabama Renegade became the Tennessee Valley Tigers. Is that what you're saying? So the Chattanooga Locomotion are in limbo. The Arizona Wildfire became the Marina Shade Devils. And there's North Texas. North Texas is also gone in limbo. And then the Maine Freeze have gone in limbo. So there are several teams that haven't joined the league or have dissolved. The NWFA does have lots of new teams. They lost those 9. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And they have added 8. Obviously with one replacing the Arizona Wildfire became the Marana She Devils, so there you go. They have the East Texas Sabercats, which is Coach Trammer's team. The Jacksonville Dixie Blues will once again take up football, even though I have emailed them and have not gotten a response. So I'm kind of wondering how that's going about. A lot of these teams haven't updated their websites. The Jersey Justice, the new most recently announced team on their site,
I know the Missouri Phoenix recently joined, but they didn't announce them on there. They, of course, have the Lone Star Mustangs. Guessing that's another Texas team, just a wild guess there. The Pittsburgh Force, and then you have the Ventura Black Widows, which are right up the road from me. So they lost 9, got 8 more, and there's still a bunch of questions about 3 teams of where they've gone. The IWFL has not announced anything, and they do not announce anything until, I guess, their league meetings, because they don't know anything until then for sure. Catherine Masters is very good. As soon as somebody's I guess contract ends, they are either sold to a new owner or just taken off their website. She's glad I'm not in the NWFA, because if I didn't get in touch with her for a week, I might be off her website. The NWFA also has the Keystone Assault. I totally forgot about that. Yeah, the Keystone Assault. So they did add 9 teams. And the Keystone Assault, they're selling as the former Central PA Vipers, and I'm not sure if they're selling them as the Central PA Vipers are now becoming the Keystone Assault, or if some people from the Central PA Vipers have started their own team because of, you know, the drama that usually goes on with all of this stuff. So I'm not sure if there's a lot of stuff going on. I know that 2 teams, their links are disabled to their official website, and that's how I guess that I know these 2 teams are out. Columbus Phantoms, their link is dead from their site. I mean, it might very well have a website. And the Las Vegas Showgirls. So the big news of the week, well, the past 2 weeks since I didn't have a show last week, was the Las Vegas Showgirls. And how was it worded? They were not being renewed for the 2009 season. And I have a lot to say about that. And I don't know, or you know what, I don't even care what everybody else thinks of my involvement or my importance in women's football. I am here for the benefit of the sport. And it really frustrated me that the Women's Football Camping Conference, which is now just a camp, and the IWF All-Star Weekend were scheduled on the same day. Okay? I had nothing to do with that. I wasn't going either one of them. I already had plans. But because of me supporting one more than the other on my show, I think I'm being blamed for some of that, and I don't get it. I mean, I don't understand. I received an email today that only consisted of, what, 4 words? Let me check real quick. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 3 exclamation points. Now, I'm not going to repeat what it said, but it was not nice. And it basically put some blame on me about it. So I guess it was pointing the finger at me, and I don't know if it was pointing the finger at me because they are no longer in the league or because the camping conference has changed to just a camp. Listen, anything that is done for women's football is great, but when it conflicts with something else, obviously there are multiple parties at fault. And I am very sad that we, the California Quake, will not be able to play the Las Vegas Showgirls this year. I am very upset at that. When I found out about them being kicked out of the league, I was pissed. And I know I use kicked out, but they're using the words not renewed. And I say there. I don't know. I'm not pointing that at anybody. I'm just saying I had a great time against that team. I was forced to coach that game. Most of the teams we played, we walked over. We did have a very good game with Orange County Breakers. It was SoCal Breakers. No matter the score, the first one was 5-0, the second one was like 27-0. They were good games, but I knew that we could play better football than them because we had more depth. They didn't have depth. That's why I knew we could pull out in the end, and I was secure in those games. But the talent level and the coaching that the Showgirls received matched ours. They matched up well with us. We were both 2 very fast teams. They were bigger than us. And that's why I am so proud that we faced a team that was almost as fast as us and still bigger than us and managed to squeak out 2 victories. Now, the first game shouldn't have been as close as it was. But it was a very good game. I mean, they could stop us. And we just dominated the whole first half, and then they got two quick touchdowns and made it a close game, and next thing you know, it's a thrilling second half. And then the one at home, 41-38 or whatever the frickin' score was, it was amazing. It was a great game. We had over 400 people in the stands that game, and, I mean, it just went back and forth, and it was the first time that we were down all year, and it was an amazing game, and that's what women's football needs about. Everybody that was at that game enjoyed it and knew that women's football was not a joke. There was good defense. There was good offense. There was good special teams. I mean, 41-38, that's not touchdowns. That's field. Both teams made a field goal. Come on. How many games have you listeners out there been at that both teams have made a field goal? Both teams. All right? Yeah, I know that number can be counted on the hands. You don't even need your feet. That can be counted on the hands. So, I mean, I was very upset that they are not renewed for the 2009 season because I knew that that team is needed in women's football. And the reasons, guess what? Everybody has an opinion. And you know the people that know the reasons? The IWFL, Executive Council, whoever you want to talk to, and Coach Lee, who is the owner and delegate and coach, something that the league doesn't like. And I know Coach Bartley and I have gotten arguments about teams should be able to name whoever they want as delegate or whatever, general manager. I don't know any of that. I'm just here to coach football. I've been part of management. I don't want to be part of management again. I want to coach football. I want to be able to manage my players. Manage my coaching staff to coach my players. That's what I want to be involved with. And I've been part of management before and know how stressful it is to be in a league and make sure that you're abiding by all the rules. Well, rules were broken and communication lines were not so much established. They were not consistent. I think both the IWFL and management of the Showgirls are at fault, and I don't place blame on one party more than the other, but let me tell you this. I probably know more than most of you out there. For those of you who do have the potential and relationship to talk with both Coach Lee and the members of the Executive Council, you probably know as much as me. Players and outside interest, you probably don't know as much. I know there was more, the fingers should be pointing one way more than the other. But guess what? I still think it's both of their faults that the Showgirls are not in the 2009 season for the IWFL. I really, really hope that they are playing somewhere in the 2009. I imagine it'll be in the WFA. And truthfully, I think that it will be because they're sponsored by his new website, the Women's Football website, is sponsored by Baden, which is the official ball of the WFA, which I thought was really shady to begin with. Because, first of all, the lead ball is Nike. So, I think that's funny that he would link that, knowing that he's in a different league, to get a sponsorship from a ball that's not in our league. I thought that was kind of funny that he did that. And I thought it was a telling issue, and that was before it was even announced. And he was the one that announced that he was kicked out of the league. So, I don't know. I just don't know about the whole situation. And I know that I am perceived as a league boy and all that fun stuff, but you know what? I want to play in the best situation for the ladies. The IWFL is going to be around for a while. Do they do everything right? No. Does the NWFA do everything right? No. Does the WFA have some good ideas? Yes. I do not think they went about the best way in expressing those ideas. Creating a new league is only going to take a This league, women's football, the sport that it is, will never survive unless these people work together. And Jeff King, who took all these ideas, and I've seen the website. It looks great. It looks great with all those ideas and stuff like that. But guess what? You have a season to play. And right now you have six teams. The only way that any of these teams are going to survive is if they have three to four teams within a couple hours of each other. So I remember him saying that if he sees that it'll hurt women's football, he wouldn't do it. And I don't see this helping. Maybe not necessarily hurting, because it's giving these women a place to play, and since nobody's getting paid as it is, at least they get to play football. But the purpose of his league, I thought, was so that all the teams could play each other. Do you really think the NWSA or the IWFL is going to let their teams play this team in the WFA? I think it would be forward-thinking if they did, but I don't think they will do it. So I'm just going to leave that at that. I am pissed that the showgirls are out. And I'm sure the teams that are affected by some of these other migrations or losses are upset too. But as this personally affects who I coach against and which makes me better as a coach, I was very upset. And I don't like getting blamed for leagues not renewing licenses or somebody's idea not working out as well as they had anticipated, which, you know, is how I took an email today. But, I mean, I have every right to express my opinion. And if you listen and take my opinion for fact, then you are wrong. I am a coach of women's football, and this is my show. And I am going to express my opinions on what I think is good for women's football, my opinions on what games are going on in the NFL, and what games are going on in college football. That's all I'm here to do. I'm here to put these issues out here. Everybody can talk and spitball about whatever they want to. I mean, if you really have something to say and you want to be heard, all you have to do is email me. I will set you up for my show. My email is on the link to the page. And for those of you who have just come across this and don't even know where it is, it's Coach Penn, Third and Long with Coach Penn. It's a women's football discussion. I have a blog. You can do a search for it. You'll find it, Coach Penn. It's very easy to remember. There's lots of women's football tackle talk groups and, you know, Sarge's board and everything out there. And you can always find out stuff about that and form your own opinions. But guess what? Everything you read is biased, okay? So do your own research. And if you want to get on the league and get on the airwaves and clear some stuff up, head coach at CaliforniaQuake.com, and I will give you that voice. I will give you that voice, and you can say what you think needs to be said. If you want to clear some issues, if you would like to stop, rumors and innuendos or people conjecturing what they will or what about anything, I mean, it's so frustrating to see some of the talk go on the message boards. You know, the Toledo Rain and Indiana Speed were both in the WPFL, and they decided not to play in the spring league for various reasons. And with the main reason being they weren't sure where the WPFL was going, so they decided to take the time off, let their players heal. And then when the season came around, WPFL was nowhere to be seen, basically because most of the teams had left. They still wanted to play football. So they played each other. The two teams came to agreement, hey, we still want to play football. Let's play each other. You get two home games, we'll get two home games. Great job. That's freaking awesome, you know? They were able to continue playing football, and that is wonderful to hear. It wasn't in the league, so all you did was keep yourself in shape and got to play some football. There's no championship rings. There's just the pride and acknowledgement that you were able to play some football and have a good time. So congratulations to both those teams for doing that. I hope that both of you join a league so that you can continue playing football and help garner some respect for the sport. The only way this is ever going to be acknowledged is if we garner respect from big-time sponsors and big-time media. I was interviewed today by, I believe it was a newspaper in San Francisco, and it's not a major newspaper, but they were interviewing me about my spread offense, something that I shared with Chicago Forces offense coordinator. They interviewed me today, and he was like, because I invented my spread, my type of spread was invented back in 2006, and later in that year, somebody else invented, like, it's called the A11, which has gotten lots of publicity. And I emailed him. I said, hey, this is very similar to my offense, which I started a year before. And he said, oh, really? Well, let me call you and interview you. And he waited till he had some free time, and he called to interview me. And he's like, does this frustrate you that you're not getting the credit for inventing this type of offense? I was like, no. What frustrates me is that this is just a form of offense being run in high school football, yet it's on every major network it can be seen. Yet women's football is all across the country for 7 years now, almost eight, and it gets no exposure on the national level. I was like, that's what frustrates me. So for all you people out there that think I'm in it for me or in it for my league, wrong. I'm in this for women's football, okay? I want women's football to succeed. I would like to get a paycheck, to, you know, after every game. That would be awesome to me, you know, but that's not my drive for doing it. My drive for doing it is teaching women football and giving them the chance to play respectable football on the field. And I thank the ladies that do actually come out and put forth that effort. All those new listeners out there, thank you for listening to me vent. It's very frustrating to see all the finger pointing going on instead of the handshakes taking place. We really need to start working together, and I know that it will not happen anytime soon, but as long as there are a few of us preaching it and a few more of us trying it, it will happen. I look forward to seeing the Amazons try out this weekend. It is on the 11th. All you people in LA that don't play for me, I will probably drop by and see Coach Duncan's tryout. Me, Coach Duncan, Coach Bartley, we've known each other for a long time. I think we've all known each other since 2002, and we might not necessarily agree on everything, but I respect both of them, and we'll always, you know, be there for them, just as I hope they know that I wish they would be there too. BJ's telling me that Ahmad of the Black Widows will be there too, so maybe I'll be able to meet a new coach of a new team, and it'll be neat. You know, I always want to, when I went to the championship game, I got to see how, you know, different teams warmed up differently than we do. So I kind of want to see what's going on with their tryout and what they run through. And then I know it's being run like a football camp, so he's going to have, you know, veterans in one area and the rookies or non-experienced football players in another area. So it'll be pretty cool to see, you know, the kind of drills he does. And, you know, I've always wanted to see what Coach Duncan does. I see his warm-ups, and they're pretty similar to mine. So it's just very interesting. I think women's football, I mean, Coach Duncan, Coach Anthony, myself, we do have the best interests of football, of women's football, in mind. We just all have different ways of going about it, and to each his own, right? So thank you for everybody for listening tonight. Don't forget, you know, football starts tomorrow night, college football. Friday nights are meant for high school football, so go out there and support your local high school football teams. Football is football, kids. Football is football. Saturday, college football, and then the monotony and, I guess, copying of the NFL will be played on Sunday. I admire the Dolphins for doing something different. Yes, it's old, but it's something different today, so it's nice to see something different on Sundays as opposed to no matter what game you put on, the same exact plays are being run. So, once again, this has been Coach Penn. This is my show, Third and Long, where my opinions are expressed, and I thank you for recognizing that when you pass on what I say and recognizing that this is just my opinion, and it's, you know, my two cents. And the only question I can ask for that is, do you have change? Because I'm not sure if I got all 2 cents out. So thank you, BJ, for running the boards. Thank you to those listening. I will be back next Wednesday. Hopefully be able to discuss relationships, because that's a big thing that goes on in women's football, the relationships with coaches and the players, players with the players, management, and coaches and players, you know, because the relationship is a very different dynamic in women's football. So I'm hoping to do that on an upcoming show, and I hope I can get some people to be my guest on that show. So thank you, everybody, for listening. It's been a wonderful evening, and enjoy the rest of your night. Coach Penn is out.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.